You've heard of the American Revolution, right? Tonight, we are going to look at the season finales for both Runaways and The Gifted. So maybe some spoilers for The Gifted. But tonight, it's all about the donuts. Marvel TV Weekly starts now!
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
There were two episodes of The Gifted tonight, 2 hours, so I got to do two quotes.
Yay!
But then this is going to be it for a while. Welcome to Marvel TV Weekly! It is indeed the Seasons of Wither, because we're at the tail end of two seasons. Season one of Runaways, season one of The Gifted, and all that's left for a little while is S.H.I.E.L.D. And I'm in like a 25 episode hole now. I don't know how to get out.
You can do it.
I need help. I need somebody to help me get out of my Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Dedicate one full day.
All right. So I'll just neglect my kids for a day.
But you can't sleep that day.
But it's fine. Look, I don't sleep anyway. Anyway, I'm Christian Blad. You can find me at ChristianDMZ. To my left, those watching on YouTube, you're right. Carrie Lane, where can people find you?
Yeah, you guys can find me online at Carrie D Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E.
And who is the gentleman on the other end of the desk?
It's Michael Shirley. Glad to see you guys tonight. Talk about all the fun stuff that happened this week. You can catch me on Twitter at Michael X Shirley and on Instagram. The same.
So, yeah, here we are at the end of... I mean, Legion's not going to start until April, and I don't think Cloak and Dagger starts before then. So it's a long stretch for S.H.I.E.L.D. Maybe if I just try and watch like 5 episodes a week, I'll catch up before the end of the season.
There you go.
I'm not quite sure.
We're going to have something to talk about next week.
I know.
I'm catching up, so come on.
I know you're going to be in Sundance next week.
Yeah, I won't be here next
week. So it's really going to just be Michael and I, although we'll have a guest hopefully sit in with us. And I'm just going to sit in the corner. I don't know, maybe I'll do a Sudoku or a crossword puzzle or something. While you guys talk about it. Anyway, but we'll start off talking about Runaways in a minute. But I was reading some rumors about one of them is a movie thing that we might finally get a Black Widow movie. And
right.
I think, you know, it kind of doesn't make sense that it hasn't happened for the simple reason Scarlett Johansson's a movie star. You know, it's not like she's a female character play. You know, it's not like they're talking about making a Scarlet Witch movie. Love Elizabeth Olsen, my favorite of the Olsen sisters. But seriously, I mean, Black Widow, I think there's enough story there. And look, there'll be other people in it. You know, some of her friends will show up.
It could be interesting to have like an origin story.
Yeah, I think we could certainly see. There have been little hints of it. Even Agent Carter had some hints of the program that led to the Black Widow's birth. So I think that it's high time. Michael, what do you think?
I've been wondering why we haven't had one yet, because she is such a... major player.
I mean,
in the Avengers movie, and she kind of always like saves everyone's
ass. If you're going to make Captain Marvel, which is basically Ms. Marvel, if you're going to tell that story, you can go ahead and tell the Black Widow story.
I really want to see the high and tight haircut.
Oh yeah, I think they owe that to us.
Yeah.
And then the other thing I read is that apparently there's another rumor that Disney is looking to shut down all the animated series and just do a bunch of animated movies, which that doesn't make sense. I feel like you can make more
like
money
going
that
the
way.
DC route.
Yeah, that's like what people are thinking. They might do that.
But I actually really think that's a good idea.
You think that's a better idea? Yeah, in the booth, by the way, Anthony, at Tony B. Dead DED. Why do you think that's better?
Because you have more liberty to do things and do it in a cheaper manner. Like, you can see, they're starting off, they're going to be making, the first one that's going to be making, it's a Spider-Man film.
Yeah.
And it's going to be the Spider-Man film, but, like...
Oh, that does look pretty cool,
animated,
though.
The animated MCU, in a sense.
It's a little
and
weird
you can,
style.
You can get, like, all the Spider-Mans from all the dimensions in, like, of those films. Something you couldn't, like, that would take years in like, live-action MCU.
Okay, I think
you're
so...
why not a TV series of it?
I don't know.
Anthony, I think you're so excited. I have to ask you a question. Do you have a crush on Spider-Gwen?
I love Spider-Man.
Yes,
Spider-Gwen.
I just love the Spider universe, though. So, like,
all right.
The Spideyverse.
Well, let us know in the chat what you think. And speaking of the chat, Anthony, if you could put that up so we could see our friends in there who are, I'm sure, very excited about
that the gift is over.
Well, that's what you're excited about. And by the way, I have to mention, the first half of the episode, we're going to talk about Runaways, but we are going to talk about The Gifted, the 2-hour finale.
Lots of spoilers
for tonight. So if you're on the West Coast, maybe save the second half of this episode for later tonight or tomorrow. But we'll give you a little reminder before we dive into that. But hopefully you've all watched the season finale of The Runaways. And let's first of all talk about on the whole. Personally, I thought it was fun. I don't know what I was expecting. I thought pretty much from the pilot on, you're able to realize, okay, they cast the kids really well. And I found the pride, the adults, to actually be a lot more interesting. Not just because Ryan Sands is our buddy, and he came on our show before he came on any other shows on AfterBuzz. I mean, he's been here like six times, but he came on our show first, so you'll always remember your first, Ryan. But I found it to be a lot more interesting and engaging than I thought. I think because they did kind of tell both sides of it. You know, the parents are not good people, but they really got stuck in a situation, each and every one of them, that they couldn't really get out of.
Now, it's been a while since I've read The Gifted. I don't think I read...
You mean The Runaways.
Runaways. Sorry, I was reading Gifted in chat. So, Runaways. So, it's been a while since I read it. Now, correct me, because I don't recall. Someone made a comment, and I was like, that's a good point. The show made the parents a little more less 100% the bad guys.
Yeah, they're definitely more sympathetic on the television
show. Which I think makes it more interesting, because if they're 100% bad guy, you're like, well, I don't really care that much. But when there's, I mean, they're all kind of different reasons, and you kind of go, well, makes it harder to hate them, which is compelling for you as a viewer.
No, look, I think that those sort of stories are much more interesting. If you read X-Men number one and you see Magneto, Magneto is far more interesting as sort of a compliment to Professor Xavier, the idea of, well, one of those Martin Luther King, Happy Martin Luther King Day is why I'm using the example. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can look at Magneto more like
Charles Manson.
More like Malcolm X. But the original Magneto is basically is more like Hitler. You know, it's mm-hmm. like Homo Superior, the master race, and all of that. And it's far more interesting when you get to see, as you know, portrayed in the movies. I think they do a great job in the Michael Fassbender and James McAvoy, the dynamic, getting to see them when they were younger. That's a way more interesting story than, I'm Magneto, I'm super evil, and I just want to crush everything in my path.
Well, being that it is like a cast of kids, I don't think you could have just had them all hate their parents. Just, I don't think it would have really.
But don't teenagers hate their parents anyway? So you have to give them a good reason.
Well, Chase was a good example, because like his father is literally abusive and every reason to hate that person, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
But then as a child, you want approval from your parents. You want to love your parents. You want them to love you. So then he has a little bit of like, well, wait, maybe I'll give him a second chance. And it made it more interesting.
Well, the interesting thing is, as much as Chase hated his dad, he clearly hated Alex's laptop more. Because he just went to town on that day. I know we talked about that last week.
Unforgivable.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it was a good laptop. I mean, you know, it was a new model. Anyway, I found that to be so much more interesting, though. Is that what you thought, Carrie, Michael? Did you guys feel like the show was, you know, more engaging than maybe you were prepared for?
Yeah, I think it it picked up for me, though, because I think at the beginning I was like, okay, it's cool, but I wasn't as invested. But as it went on, it was like, oh, this is getting really good.
Yeah.
I do want to see more action.
Yes.
I feel like we're going to get that next season, but yeah, it all just kind of seems like this was setting the scene, and maybe next season, usually kind of how that goes is they take it all away. And we kind of got that at the end. Everything was taken away.
Yeah. Though I would say the finale was a hair anticlimactic.
Well, I don't agree. Well, I've seen that online.
Well, hold on. Before we get into what it is about it, let's talk about it in general. No, we can talk about it in general, though. That it's just sort of like, okay, there's more coming, because that doesn't feel anything like an end.
But it was nice, though, in terms of it not being a total cliffhanger of, oh no, what's next? It was more just, we did, like, it really ramped and then kind of just stopped.
Yeah.
But it made you want more, because you're like, okay, so what's next? When am I going to get that next episode? Which, that, I guess, made it do its, it did its job of us as viewers want more.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. It was more, you know what it was? I think I was disappointed. I'm like, oh, okay, so there's no more of the story now. Like, because the end credits started, and I'm like, oh, but what happens? You could kind of end the show.
I mean, you could just say that's it.
Yeah, well, as in the chat, War Hero 99 points out, let me guess, they ran away. Yes, that is indeed what happened. The Runaways ran away at the end of episode 10. I only disappointed in that there's not going to be more story for a while. There's no clear-cut information online as to when season 2 would be, but I think it's not until 2019. I don't think it's later this year. I think it'll be sometime next year. Boy, this is the one day Ryan Sands isn't here. We could just ask him, so when do you go back to work? But if you follow him on Instagram like I do, the Ryan Sands, you would see he's not working right now. So they're not back on set for season 2. So I feel like it's going to be a little while is my point. Did you see something interesting?
No,
in there,
I'm
Carrie?
Thinking of a hashtag that I was like, did you guys hear about this? But I need to look it up so I say it right.
Well, I don't think that it was anticlimactic. I actually got everything I wanted out of the finale.
So if say the response hadn't been that good and there were no more episodes, you'd be like, all right, that was a good run.
Yeah, I was just saying that. I feel like that show could have stood alone, like on its own, the way it ended. Like, you kind of really don't need to know what happens after that, because you know they're gonna take down their family, run LA. But I don't know, it was kind of, I felt like when I finished watching the entire season, and I was watching it each week, it felt like I finished like comic book one.
Yeah.
Like, it was very much setting us up for this show. Yes. Like, and you know what I'm saying?
No,
it
just, I do know what you're
really
saying.
Was
yeah.
like, okay, now it starts. I feel like the show's going to officially start now, and it's going to be more what we were.
Yeah, it's almost like season one was almost like an
intro,
origin story. You know,
I would like to. It feels like season one is pretty much just a setup for the rest of the series.
Yeah.
And I do have to. I do agree with, like, it felt a little anticlimactic, mainly because I think the last episode kind of peaked, like, really, really early on, and then the rest was just kind of like the come down from, like, the ramifications from that peak.
Y'all were wanting to see a big old showdown.
Well, yeah, if you think
that's
about the way that episode 9 ended, you got the kids versus the parents.
Plateaued.
Oh, shit. Look, it's on. And then run away.
I thought it was kind of enough that they were just like, boom, and they like showed
like
them
bad.
That they weren't scared of them.
Yeah.
I thought that was enough.
And I'm not saying it's a bad thing, it's just more that it was like, okay. You know, and then you're like, fine, moving on. So the hashtag was, I don't know if you guys have heard it, is, if I say it wrong, sorry, it was Weathers, I don't know how you pronounce it. It's like Dinero. So it's combining Nico and Carolina's names, their last names. And people are super shipping that. And even the cast is. So
look, super happy for Nico and Carolina. But poor
I
Alex.
Think things are going to work
poor
out.
Poor Alex,
for them.
Though. He'd been pining away for her for so long. And, you know, Carolina just has to come and be all
suspicious.
Hot and glowy. And then it's like, no more Alex. She's like, yeah, see you later. Although she was already mad at him for, you know, keeping secrets
and
about her
there's
dead sister.
Even more secrets, too, of, like, him going to get the gun and, like, there might be more.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm suspicious of Alex.
I'm really hoping we're going to get more runaways, like, more
other kids?
Members of the team next season.
I think that's probably a safe bet. I think we'll get some of that. And, look, there's clearly a lot of unanswered questions because we notice that kind of late in the episode, we can see a little bit up Jonah's sleeve, and he's sort of that weird, degraded, like white old man.
Ugh.
That has coming back. So, you know, he had tried to convince everyone that he was fine, he wasn't going to need anymore. He's like, nope, more dead kids, please. So that'll be interesting.
I feel like because of the whole Carolina Nico thing, we're going to see Zaven come in and kind of knock everything around.
We've seen Zayas in the chat mentions that.
Yeah.
Oh, what did they say? I cannot remember.
I'm hoping for Zaven, Clara Plast, and Victor Mancha for season 2. Just a little bit bigger, Tony.
All right,
B.
Right, I'll read it for you. In case y'all forget.
No, but you can also make it bigger. I just read it.
There we go. That's better.
All right. At Tony B. Dead. Calm down. And Victor is a cyborg created by Ultron. Well, there's an interesting theory. I guess that was probably... Is that from the comics? Is that something that you remember? Huh. Look at that. I don't think that's going
to
happen here.
I think Zaven's the one that's most exciting to me to have.
Okay.
Well, I think that there's plenty of room, but from the characters that we have, there's still a lot more to see. We get a name for the dinosaur now. Old Lace?
Yes, that was cute.
I mean, it's cute.
You didn't
it's
like
cute.
It?
I really like the way she runs.
I do like the... look, I love the dinosaur in general because...
You're a sucker for the animals.
Yeah, I mean, look...
Dinosaur and animal?
The dino... I mean...
It counts.
I don't know, actually. There could be protesters outside now that you said...
It's a reptile.
Reptiles. I think so.
Dinosaurs are animals,
close enough.
Too.
Yeah, look, it's a pet.
Lockjaw's always number one in my heart. That's not going to change. But I do like the dinosaur. And, you know, I think I came around on Gert. I think in the first episode, you're like, oh, okay, she's pretty annoying and super preachy.
I always liked her.
But,
I think she's
but
my
it's
favorite.
All it's all defense mechanisms. She yes. just likes the cute boy. You know, that's look, that's what it comes down to sometimes. Sometimes you just like the cute boy and then you have to put up a cute
but
exterior.
And he likes her back, which is aww.
That's a good thing Nico knew that, you know. So I don't know, and I find that like I shouldn't have been invested in those relationships, but I'm like, good for them. I'm happy for everybody except Alex.
I'm still happy they all got their hookups.
Yeah.
There's
no one left for Alex at this point. He's gonna have to wait for Molly to get older. You know?
I can't quite remember. No. Does Nico end up with her staff or does her mom still have
at the end of the episode mom still has it. Tina still has it. Yeah,
I was hoping she could somehow get it back, but I did love that if you study
longer, yeah I like that
you're like, oh burn,
yeah, oh burn.
Ryan warned us about Tina. He's like,
yeah.
Mm-mm. Yeah, that's true, he did. And then one little bit of information that we got, which you know, we had some theories last week on what happened to Nico's sister, and we don't exactly see it, but we're told that
I'm pretty sure it's Jonah.
That it was Jonah. We're told that it's Jonah, but we're not shown that it's Jonah. So that still leaves a kernel of doubt that it might be somebody else. But clearly, it's one of the bad ones because it's like all the parents are bad, but you have like your worst parents.
Yes. There's definitely a scale.
Yeah.
I think something to make this story more believable, I think we're going to need to see like a major character death.
Oh,
for
no.
Me, I feel that way because... It all seems a little safe. It's like, okay. It's just their parents.
Janet.
They'll be okay.
No, they can go ahead and kill Janet then. That's fine.
Everyone wants to
kill
Janet.
Well, I mean, that's what we talked about last week. Everybody was in a rush to kill Janet. They're like, I'll be fine.
I think one of the runaways needs to go.
No. Well, Alex, I guess, because he doesn't have any powers, so he can't defend himself. Although he does have a big wad of money at the end of the
and
episode.
And a big brain.
Yeah, well, it's true. He doesn't have a computer anymore.
I still don't buy the fact that
he... And a gun, yes.
I still don't buy the fact that he's like a super... Like a mutant. Like, what is his power? He's like, I feel like Chase is just as smart as him.
His power is leadership.
He's supposed to be like genius level IQ, like one of the smartest people.
Alex?
Alex is smart enough to not play lacrosse. I think that's really the only difference between he and Chase. But, you know, you see that obviously even there's some division within the Pride in this episode. And they like realize, hey, you know, Jonah's a bad guy. Go figure. You know, he's, you know, potentially going to kill our kids. So that's not good. And then they start to not trust the big hole in the ground, which I don't know why anybody...
I wouldn't trust that hole.
Yeah, I mean, you're just like... Now, that would be a line to take and isolate for the beginning of our show.
I know, right?
But it's true. Nobody should trust that hole.
And it's interesting, though, that they didn't do a cutaway to what's down there. They kept going, it's alive, what is that, blah, blah, blah. But we never got that shot. I'm like, so when are we going to get it? No, we're not. Okay.
Yeah, I think that that's another thing that they're like, that'll well, all right, hang on. You'll get to see that in season two. And, you know, we haven't really seen the end game with Frank, who, you know, throughout most of this season was just like, oh, dumb old Frank. But then you're like, oh, he's actually involved and he's working pretty closely with Jonah.
Ready to give up his
pretty
kid.
Sure Jonah's just playing him, by the way.
Oh, for
and
sure.
And he cannot wait to kill Frank.
Yeah.
Because he'll make a good sacrifice.
Yeah.
You know, that'll be no problem. Although
he's still young.
He's not 17, but that's probably what it says on the back of his headshot.
I was really impressed with the character development of Molly. When we first, like, meet her, I was like, really? And there were just so many things about her. She was the one, for me, that reminded me the least of the comic book character. But as the season went on, I kept thinking, like, I want to see her with Wolverine. Like,
right?
Having some, like, fun.
I'm going to be no Agreed. Wolverine on this show, that's for sure. Well, speaking of Wolverine,
on this show.
This show, yes, but not on Runaways. And, you know, look, as we mentioned, Alex talks to Darius, who is his dad's old partner, and he just tells him everything he needs to know about the Pride. So I think that that's sort of, it's interesting because it's not a superpowered or spectacular angle, but it's a guy who can certainly go after some of their interests in season two. So I think a lot of things are in place for what should be a second season that we'll get at some point, but not now. because it's all over. And as it ends, we see that all the kids, all of our runaway friends, they get blamed for Destiny's murder. And then they really
that was smart, like that, yeah. And the parents part of how to get them. Something else, I don't know if you guys noticed, somebody put on Twitter how Carolina's outfit that she gets in the van is very similar to what she wears in the comic at one point. Someone's like, yay, they're bringing that in, like her little yellow crop top and the pants. She jacket. Just didn't have the full, right. Like,
she usually
funny
has
sleeves.
Like a jacket they
did,
thing, right?
They did a good job, like, keeping Molly consistent. It seemed like she had all the little ears and
yeah. I'm
stuff.
Still. It's the last name bothers me, though.
What?
Because her name in the show is the last name is different than in the comic books. And I actually mentioned that to Ryan, and he was like, there's probably a little something in that. So I just don't know why they didn't explain it this first season. It was kind of like, eh.
Wait, for Molly's name?
Like, yeah.
She does be Hernandez.
Well, her parents' last name was Hernandez, but.
Right. In the comic books, her last name, someone pull it up. She has a different last name than used in the show.
Now, you know, sometimes it could just be a simple matter of, you know, not to get boring, just rights and clearances on television. Yeah. Sometimes just you're not legally able to use a name for whatever reason, so you have to invent a different one. But I don't know. We'll have to see. I mean, look at Ryan giving us teaser information for season two. Anyway, look, I was very excited, but I have to say, a little disappointed that Runaways is over, and I've got one less show to watch.
So the Runaway
makes room for another.
There is room for something else, because we always talk about Marvel TV on this show, but that doesn't mean we don't like other superhero shows. And on January 16th, when the CW's newest superhero suits up, lightning's going to strike. Don't miss the electrifying new series, Black Lightning. Black Lightning, a.k.a. Jefferson Pierce, had previously powered down his crime-fighting career, and for the last 9 years had been saving lives the best way he knew how, as principal of the local high school. But in this city, when the hero's away, the gangs will play. And this dude's a family man, so when his people get caught in the crosshairs, it's time to take charge. Now, the former hero is back in full force for a second round against corruption and violence, because lightning does strike twice. It's dark days for the city of Freeland, but the storm is coming when Black Lightning brings his power to the people. Not only will the series Black Lightning spark you up, but also the soundtrack is full of slamming hip-hop cuts, like songs from Rome Fortune, and old-school hits from blues singer Nina Simone, Bobby Bland, and the great Isaac Hayes. On January 16th, the world will know Black Lightning. Series premiere after The Flash, only on the CW. Isaac Hayes, I'm just talking about Shaft.
My hometown, Memphis.
From Memphis.
Yeah, he's buried there.
I almost said Nashville. That would have been...
I would have jumped over the table.
So it's a good thing I didn't say it. Anyway, so see, now that's something that we can
while we wait for season two of Runaways.
I'm actually excited to see what they do with the kind of the continuity of it, because it's not part of the Arrowverse, and it's showing with all these other shows.
Oh, it's not going to be?
And it's
going to
be the one that's set apart.
Well, I think at some point, you know, when they first did Supergirl, it wasn't part of it either. And then they're like, yeah,
well,
we'll figure out a way.
They've spoken about it and said that there's no need for it to be part of the Arrowverse.
Well, I think it's just,
stands
it's,
on its own.
It's just pretty crowded, I guess.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
They even have Superman in the Arrowverse. So
I think Black Lightning might be a little tougher, too. It might be a little more grittier than what we get on.
That's a great point. But we're here to talk about Marvel TV Weekly, so there are other shows where you can hear more about Black Lightning. And now for the rest of the episode, we're going to talk about the season one finale of The Gifted. If you have not seen it yet, you might live on the West Coast where it hasn't aired yet. It'll start right after the show. We were fortunate enough to
VIPs.
Be able to watch. Yeah, we're VIPs. We got to watch the East Coast feed. So we are going to talk about the season finale, the 2-hour season finale of The Gifted, in a very spoilery way. So if you haven't seen it, you should say goodbye to us for now, but
yeah,
come back.
Press
please
pause.
Come back. Yeah, pause.
All right, later, guys.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Anthony hasn't seen it.
Wait, before you get in, do we want any comments on S.H.I.E.L.D. for those of us who are...
Look, you guys can say whatever you want about S.H.I.E.L.D., but
let's
we only
do a quick
we don't,
60
we don't have
seconds
a,
of 60 S.H.I.E.L.D.
60 seconds, just we don't have a lot of
time. Okay, so she's been catching up.
Yes, and it's really good, and I agree with what you said before.
Yeah.
Stick with it. It's a little bit weird at the beginning, and you're like, what is going on? But there's some great rewards and payoffs. Characters come back. Again, stick with it, because you're like, what? But then they jump around in time. Oh, it was so rewarding when a certain somebody comes
Fitz.
Back.
Fitz.
That's right. You can say Fitz. It's my fault.
Like,
oh,
like, oh, my gosh. I cheered.
I do
I'm telling
love
you, I cheered out loud. I was like, yes!
How they're like, he like, what was it? Like just flew around the Earth for like 70 years until it was time or something.
Cryogenically frozen.
I forget like how that worked, but he was. I was like,
it was
that's
so good.
That's the long game.
Yes. Oh, he's like, yeah, I took the long way.
And I think my
action is good.
Yeah.
Humor, and then the team is together. Some new powers because we get some other Inhumans, mm-hmm. so that's cool.
But is Lockjaw on it?
No!
Okay, no time to talk about it, then. No, we have plenty of time to talk about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but only 15
minutes. Well, we're just catching up real quick on...
That's good. Yes.
And then, Fitz has some great one-liners.
I do like Fitz. He might be my favorite.
They explore something interesting that his character has to do some darker stuff, and it sucks what he has gone through, and he didn't like seeing that darker side of himself. However, it would have been impossible for him to do what he has to do unless he had gone through that.
They've made him likable again, whereas I was kind of thinking, how are we going to like him again?
No, it sucks because it's essentially like he has a trauma and he's like, well, what do I do? It's like, no, really, that prepared you for now. And so that is one of those like, well, when you went through something bad, it's like, no, really, it works because he has to be in situations where he has to be tough, he has to be mean and like ruthless. And old Fitz, no way. But Framework Fitz, yes.
He does push-ups now.
Yes, he's doing push-ups.
Like, he lets everyone know that.
He's got to get ripped. I mean, obviously.
The one thing I don't know about is I don't know how they're going to break these down into little... You know how they usually break them down into like three... Almost like three little
like
seasons
episodes,
in one? Yeah,
yeah
I'm yeah, not we'll really see. Sure how they're going to do that with this.
Yeah.
So.
But anyway, get catch up. It's on Hulu. That's how I was watching it.
And previous seasons are on Netflix.
Yes.
So what I have to do is I have to start
You need
on
to hurry
Netflix.
Up and catch up because I don't know how long they keep them. Because I think they...
Well, that's I've got them all. I've got them all weighing down
you
my
got
DVR.
It.
Okay.
Yeah. There you go.
It just stares at me in the face, like, oh, you have 8 episodes plus the 14
good.
On
it's
Hulu.
Good.
I mean, on Netflix. But look, it's a great transition because you're talking about sort of making some tough decisions, and as we see in this episode of The Gifted, there are a few key moments where some of the characters have to make some really difficult decisions.
So now The Gifted,
and I for one have to say that. Good for Polaris. Good for Lorna. Because, you know what? We're talking about sort of this, you know, the Charles Xavier approach, which is you can never do anything bad to anyone. And then there's Magneto's approach. It's like, look, sometimes bad things have to happen to bad people to further your cause along. And we see that multiple times in the 2 hours that we saw tonight. You know, you know what? Are we supposed to feel bad for the Sentinel Services guys? And there's the Hounds. And... they're there through no fault of their own, but they are there to kill you.
But they're gone, too.
Yeah, like, they're
not
even human
them
anymore.
You can't bring them... Well, they're not human to begin with, really.
That's true.
But there's, like, no way to bring them back. And I like that conversation Lauren has with Andy of, like, you know, we got out in time, they didn't. Because I was like, I'm sorry for the Hounds, but I really don't have sympathy because there's no way to revive them to who
I
they were.
I feel like we're going to see maybe in another season them trying to make up. Like pull
fix,
a hound back
one?
That they love. Like, maybe one of them will be turned into a
I
hound.
I think that would actually be interesting to
that
see.
That would be
one
interesting,
the,
but we saw the other one and
take note, Matt
Nix.
Yeah, Matt Nix, we know you watch. So we get to see a lot of tension in various factions.
No one really agrees with each other.
No one agrees with each other. But let's get to the heart of the matter, Michael. So the season is over.
Yeah.
How do you feel now that it's over? I feel like it got a lot better as far as I was concerned. I was a lot more interested. They had things to do with the X-Men universe. They talk about the Hellfire Club. They talk about the Brotherhood, which back in the day was known as the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants, which just sounds so much cooler, but whatever.
Well,
just
if
call
they
it
called it that, they probably wouldn't have a lot of people joining the team.
I mean, you know who would join the team? Evil
Andy.
Mutants. Evil Mutants. Yeah, Andy would totally
which
be on
which we
team.
Were calling that, essentially, from the beginning. Yeah. So is that
but that's
satisfying?
What I wanted. That's very satisfying. I think you should bring Lauren along because they're super powerful together. And
she's
never
going to
be
they're
naughty.
Totally, they're both, like, they're both kind of... kind of useless without the other one.
Ooh, no, he was doing some good damage at the end.
Okay, let me put it differently. Lauren is pretty useless without Andy.
She's
like, I got bubble power. And like, great, I'm going to just knock the shit out of
I would
want to
be in a car with her if I was in a car accident. Like, she's the one you want.
That's a good point. but anyway, so did you feel that it picked up and it's interesting enough that you're curious about season two? Or is it just this, like, weight off your shoulders that you're relieved to not have to watch anymore?
I will be honest, I really enjoyed the last episode, 3x1, where it went into, or 3x1.
3x1, because the titles always have an X in it.
I really enjoyed that and going into Esme's whole like everything with that. And I feel like she kind of like brought a lot to this show. Like it made it so much more.
Once we saw all three of them, like that episode from that moment onward, like, oh, this is actually really cool. This is interesting.
Yeah. And it got serious because how they killed so many people that you're like, oh, we just took this to another level.
Yeah. I mean, even in that episode a couple weeks ago when they killed all the Sentinel Services people. And then now it's like, you know, they didn't even actually do it. They didn't need to convince Polaris. She just knew, like, look, this is a bad guy. Bad things are about to happen. And I'm going to have to take that plane down.
As much as she drives me insane, I agree with her about everything.
Yeah. I think that she... Yeah. I think that it's... Look, they're in the middle of a war. And as the Hounds are descending on the Resistance headquarters... You have learned, like, oh, no, but we can't hurt people. It's like, dude, they're here to kill us.
Yeah.
So we can't feel bad for them. You can feel a little bad for them, you know, after they're dead and you've gotten away. But you need to just knock things down.
And that's not innocent people in the crosshairs. Those are people there to kill you.
Right. Exactly. I mean,
like, I could not understand at all how any of them wanted to run. I was like, what do you mean you're going to run?
Yeah.
Like, where are you going to run?
Yeah, and I think we see a lot of different, and there's a lot of grays, you know, black and white, there's some evils. And the interesting thing is we see sort of the very evil side of humanity with their little convention that they have up there. And the Senator Montez, he's basically,
boom,
all that's missing from his supporters are little red hats that say, make America human again. You know, I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah.
And even in the flashback, there's the recap from last week. He's got his arm up like Hitler, you know, and you're just like, all right, we get it. And
I like how they always are like Homo sapiens, Homo sapiens.
Yeah.
It's super Magneto word.
Magneto is the one who I believe coined the term Homo superior, which we actually haven't heard yet.
Yeah.
But by the way, they are the mutants, and they very well could take over. The fact that they haven't, people should be thankful. But it's
Neanderthals,
always...
Which side note is kind of interesting. Sense 8 does that with the Neanderthals are a separate species because like the Sense 8 people are human, sort of.
Yeah. So
I'm just going to call them the homos.
Well,
Homo sapiens.
You can call them that. That's
Homo
fine.
Sapiens.
I'm just going to call
we're
them.
We're all just a bunch of homos.
Homo superior, Homo sapien. That's just what we all are. So what we have is, you know, a lot of different things going on. So my point being there, though, the humans, we sort of see Polaris, and I don't know if that's Esme or, you know, are they all Esme? I get confused. There's three of them.
No, anyway. There's Phoebe.
there's Phoebe. Nobody for us to really know. They need name tags.
Yeah, they definitely need name tags.
Well, but I liked it in that one episode when he was like, are you Esme? And she's like, does it really matter?
Yeah.
And that's true. It doesn't really matter. But they're like watching, you know, sort of the humans are like so happy. And there's a great line that Esme or whichever one it is, she says, nothing brings people together like hate. Yeah. And
Saw you type that.
I typed that because I'm like, dude, that's good. And they try to get Dr. Campbell, and look, you gotta.
I was kind of ready for him to die when he's like, "Let me grab a child. I'm gonna put a gun.
Let
on
me
a
grab
child.
An elevator full of children."
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was ready to see him die just because of the inconsistencies of his scar. Throughout the course of the episodes, it's been worse. It's been smaller. It's been on the left side. It's been on the right side. I'm like, I think they needed to get moved. I think it moved a little bit. Yeah.
And the makeup department's better than the ADR department.
Oh, can we talk about
that? Let's talk about that. Now,
to be fair, we watch with headphones on.
Yeah, so
and
it's a
so
little
we can hear everything.
Intenser. Yeah.
But
so more intense.
There are so many moments where they do, you know, what we call additional dialogue recording. You go in after the fact and you change some of the dialogue. And like Lauren and Andy are talking, and then it's the close up on Lauren, and then you hear Andy sound a lot different. And I'm sorry, Anthony, that probably is like something sort of. But it was basically like that. It sounded so different.
Yeah.
And you're just like, well, what was that? So
we see you out there. Yeah, we know.
It
we noticed
so many times though,
and
throughout
this
the
episode.
Episode
was
a lot.
Yeah, because we've all talked
it
about
took
it.
Took us out of it.
Yeah.
We've pointed that you both of you pointed out, like, okay, wait, on the van, there was like the one line you go, oh, okay, but this one was constant.
It was like whole conversations. It was like they weren't done writing it yet. They filmed it and they're like, well, we got to try and fix some.
Maybe they just tried to smash those two. I mean, it was 2 hours. Maybe they were just trying to find a way to make everything more.
It was very distracting because you're like, that sound did not come from that space.
Don't watch it on the headphones.
Don't watch it with headphones.
Yeah, exactly. It'll take you out of it. One of the things that we did see in the episode, though, is we see a flashback. And it's interesting because these episodes start with flashbacks a lot of the time. And they usually don't tie into anything in the episode. It's just like, oh, here's a little thing that happened a little while ago. It's kind of interesting, but you don't need to know. But this one's at least referenced. We see, and Michael was the first one to point it out when we were watching it, we see Lorna. She's laying there in the loony bin, I think they call it, the psych ward. And she's playing with a little medallion that looks suspiciously like, what, Michael?
That I kind of like. That was everything for me.
That was a great moment. Yeah. What did it look like? Remind our audience, because they've already watched it.
It looked like what you would see on Magneto's helmet or on his chest, but they said it was the medallion, so I'm guessing.
It's from when Magneto used to go to the disco. By the way, Marvin Richardson would agree with Michael Shirley. Just finished the Gifted season finale. It was just crap. So much disappointment. Yeah, I watched it live. I noticed the sound issues, but not that much. ZSB Lou. I don't know what's going on, but... for maybe when they you know,
I'm glad someone's finally on my side.
I know you've taken a lot of grief.
Taken some beatings.
It was both of us for like the first half of the season, right? And I've come around on it a little bit because I see potential now.
Well, that ending is like, ooh.
Well, I like the ending.
And you know what is something.
Well,
about
here's what I like about the ending. So you have some great built-in drama. You're basically tearing up the Von Strucker twins. Mm-hmm. They're not twins, but they're kids. And so you have Andy going with Polaris, Esme, and Sage, who's like a character who like just talks at a computer, but then all of a sudden
she's a real character in the comics.
But I mean, on the show so far, that's kind of all that she's really done.
Yeah.
So we see them go, and there's that moment where Andy's like, "Don't try and stop me," and then he knocks over his family. He's like, "Okay, I'm mad, but not that mad. Sorry." But at the same time, you know,
don't
get up.
Yeah.
And I think that Michael disagreed with me, but if the next season were to be the sort of more radicalized Hellfire Club, Brotherhood faction, just doing what needs to be done, Andy being the badass, and you know, Polaris, who was dressed a lot differently, by the way.
I was like, dude, she got sexier as she got more dangerous.
She's like, well, now I don't need to wear a bra.
Yeah, she's because like, now that I'm a bad guy.
Yeah. By the way, let's keep in mind that, you know, how old is her baby at this point? Is it like, has it been a month or two?
And she's like, it might have been just like a week.
That's true.
Yeah, the show's got no sense of time.
Yeah, not really.
So they're sad they agree with you, though.
Yeah. They're sad they agree. Yeah. I like that. I don't know, that whole ending. I know you guys are like, oh,
like
they're going to do that or whatever.
Where it goes.
But I see, like, by episode 2, everyone coming back except for Andy, and someone else will have taken him under his wing, kind of like Magneto style, and then they'll all be together, and then they'll all just try to get Andy back.
Do you think it's just as simple as Andy is blindsided by the fact that a pretty girl, as in Esme, like, talked to him, you know? Because, look, he's, like, 16. It's hard to really think straight when, you know.
It doesn't seem like he's, like girls are, like, his last priority.
He's been on this train for a while.
That's
true.
I'd say from the first episode, he's willing.
Wanting to use his powers. But he needs, space that he could explore the full potential of his powers. Because he probably can do more, but he's not going to really get that with the training with the Underground. Not as much.
What do you guys think about Campbell? Do you think he's really gone?
No, I don't.
I feel like because of that flashback,
He
can't be. But it's kind of like, how wouldn't he be unless he's
a
mutant.
Yes, which could be interesting because, I mean, it's something that we've seen before, I guess. These self-loathing mutants.
Like, was it like on the Chappelle show, like the KKK member who's blind?
the black guy who's blind and is a member of the KKK. And, uses a certain word quite a bit. Now, Polaris, sort of in this big moment where they're putting the line in the sand and they're having the breakout, see, there's some good writing in this episode. So I wrote down two quotes. Sacrifice is just a pretty name for losing. Ouch.
That's a burn
to all you guys.
Who said that one?
It's Polaris.
When she walked in.
Oh, that does sound like
something. Because they're like, blah, blah, blah. It's okay, we lost. It was just, you know, how much we've sacrificed. And she's like, bam.
But we, you know, and even Agent Turner just kind of throws down and he's like, I quit.
Oh, I was happy.
And like his boss, by the way, I did a little research. Agent Walcott, we had never seen before the second to last episode. But it's just like, oh, which character that the guy he's on the phone with, his boss.
Oh, yeah.
They act like he'd been, no, he'd never been on before this two-part
finale.
But can
we just say how much we hate that we don't know what 7:15 is? It's like we went that whole season.
I mean, we know.
But what happened?
We don't know
who
exactly
did it.
That's
happened.
True. We don't know.
It's like.
And it, does
there
it tie into the X-Men being
breakdown.
Gone? And by the way, if there's just one X-Man on the show, it doesn't have to be an A-list X-Man. It could be.
We've got Polaris.
It could be Banshee. I would be excited to see him. It could be Jubilee. It could be Dazzler. No, Dazzler would be too awesome. I wouldn't be able to handle it. But
she's a superstar. She wouldn't be hanging out with those underground creeps.
She's out on tour right now. She doesn't have time for any of that nonsense. But I think that there's a lot of potential for season two. That's why I'm excited.
Yeah.
Because the show did ramp up as it went along. I felt like it was building week after week. And
were getting their sea legs.
And we'll get a change of scenery at least since they blew up that stupid house.
Yeah, I think that they were done.
That'll be interesting where they go next.
And Caitlin Strucker's garden.
Yeah, oh, in her
I bet
garden.
She's upset.
And you know, thank God that Reed Strucker's mom was in the episode to basically not do anything.
She wouldn't help. She was like, anything you want me to do, I'm not doing it.
I still haven't figured out if she's Cagney or Lacey. I think she was Lacey. But anyway, we are out of time, but let us know what you think. ZSB Lou says Toad and Nightcrawler. Nightcrawler is not a lesser X-Man. You take that back. he's one of the best. He's an all-timer. Just because he's barely been in the movies. But anyway, he's one of my favorites. So that's 10 demerits.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of that casting, Alan Cumming.
Oh, no, I'm talking, but there's young Nightcrawler in the Apocalypse, and then he'll be in Dark Phoenix as well, I believe. Anyway, but yeah, no, Alan Cumming is Nightcrawler. That wasn't good. But anyway, let us know what you thought about the season finales of both Runaways and The Gifted. We can read your comments next week. We can still talk about those shows. We just don't have new episodes of them anymore. We really just have S.H.I.E.L.D.
And people can get caught up on S.H.I.E.L.D.
I'm going to have to get caught up on S.H.I.E.L.D. I got a week to watch. I'm going to tweet out how many I have to watch.
I feel like we'll get Daredevil soon, right?
We're going to get Jessica Jones first in the middle of March. I know how you feel about her. But Daredevil's not for a little while. I think we'll actually get Luke Cage season 2 before Daredevil season 4.
Hmm.
So it's a little
Jessica
while.
Jessica Jones is just such a stick in the mud.
Look, she just likes to get drunk, okay? But we have so much, there'll be so much time to talk about that.
Yes.
Once she goes, you know, that is the next Marvel show, actually, because that's March. That's before Legion comes back. So we'll get to talk about Jessica. We'll be able to talk about all the news. But everything that you want to share with us, please mention on the YouTube channel, or you can tweet us at our individual addresses, and then we'll read them back here. Let us know. Are we way off? And huge shout out to the J. Kirby sign, by the way.
Yeah, that was cute.
That was great. We were all very excited to see that. Anyway, we will be back next week. Talking about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., apparently.
Yeah.
And until then, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ChristianDMZ.
And I won't be here next week, but you can follow my adventures on Twitter and Instagram of my being at Sundance at Carrie D. Lane, KARIDLANE. But I'll be back after that.
And Carrie has a film that's in competition called Why Does Michael Hate the Gifted?
No. Stop.
It's going to get the grand prize. And I'm Michael Shirley. You can find me at Michael X Shirley on Twitter and Instagram. And every Thursday for the Project Runway All-Stars After Show.
All right. Thanks again to everybody in the chat and everybody who's always
Thank
watching. We'll be back next week talking S.H.I.E.L.D. Until then, Excelsior!
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
Views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.